Hey everyone, welcome to Bible Verse Breakdown. I'm Owetawa Nomarin, and today let's talk about the King, Jesus Christ, and his cabinet, using Luke chapter 22, verses 28 to 30. That was where he told his apostles, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So, from the foundation of the world, God Almighty had ordained that his Son, Jesus Christ, would have a kingdom. And that kingdom would restore the world to righteousness. Ever since man sinned in Genesis chapter 3, Satan the devil has taken over the world. And since that time, God had ordained that his Son would be the one to restore us to perfection, according to Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. And all over the Bible, it spoke about how the pleasure of the Lord would prosper in the hands of his Son. If we desire chapter 53, verse 10, meaning that the desires of God, the will of God, would be established on the earth by the authority given to Jesus Christ. So, and if you read the history of the nation of Israel, we can see that the way the kingdom was set up by God through David resembled how the kingdom of God would be set up in the future. It would be slow, but it would come and flower over all other kingdoms and ideas, according to Matthew chapter 13 and verses 31 and 32. And in fact, there was a very strong connection made between David and Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Christ came from the lineage of David. If you read Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy was there. That connection was made. And in places like Jeremiah chapter 23 and verses 5 and 6, and Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7, and Luke chapter 1 verses 32 and 33, we can see where it was stated that Jesus Christ would rule on the throne of David his father. It was like, that was why God promised that David's seed would last on that throne forever. It wasn't because physically the people who would come from David would keep going, because it ended with Zedekiah, of course, but it was because Jesus Christ would rule from that throne symbolically. And when Jesus Christ actually came to this world, he then began to choose his cabinet, those who would rule with him, starting with the 12 apostles in Luke chapter 6 verses 12 and 13. And we have to understand, this is a very significant thing. It's like how the ministers who rule with a president or prime minister, they're very significant. The president can't really rule without them. So that was why, though Jesus Christ had many disciples, out of those he chose 12 who he named apostles, if you read that Luke account. And if you read Romans chapter 8 and verses 29 and 30, St. Paul enlightened us that such people are not just ordinary Christians. They're predestinated, meaning that God knew them from the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. They're that significant because they play a major role in gathering God's people and making righteousness thrive with the authority of Jesus Christ. So Jesus was therefore promising them that you are going to rule with me in my kingdom, and you are going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel, which of course, spiritually speaking, represents the whole world. Now, before I continue, I just want to explain something that many people debate about from time to time, and that is this idea that people are going to go to heaven. People believe that it's all Christians who are going to partake of that. While that sounds nice, talking scripturally, there's always this small, exclusive class of people who God kind of elevates to a certain height. If you look at the Levites concerning priestlyhood were above the other 11 tribes because they were the people who really had access to the holy instruments that were used to serve God in those days and minister to the people. So just as how that physical arrangement was like that, the apostles who work with Jesus Christ are like the priests who minister on our behalf. If you read Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 and Hebrews chapter 9 described how Jesus Christ would be the spiritual high priest, the true tabernacle, and the apostles, they are the temple of God, which we spiritually worship in. If you read Ephesians chapter 2 verses 19 to 22 and Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6. And in John chapter 14 from verses 1 to 3, Jesus Christ, knowing that there would be such a spiritual and heavenly arrangement, promised them that they would be taken to heaven so that they would rule with him when the time came. He told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This exclusive class of people were considered the little flock in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus Christ told them, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That kingdom was the kingdom that Jesus Christ was promised to them in Luke chapter 22, verses 28 to 30. And if you read John chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus Christ made us to know that the major group of Christians are led by him and the apostles. So if we were to all go to heaven, if we were to all be in the apostolic class, then it wouldn't really make any sense, because it's like, imagine if we were all ruling in the government, as in we all were to work with the president. No, it's the president with this class, and then they help to minister to the people in the country. So the point I'm trying to make here is that we have to understand that we're not all going to heaven. Otherwise, why would Jesus tell us to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it was done in heaven? According to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. God ordained that the children of God on earth would inherit this earth. For in Matthew chapter 5 verse 5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And based on the understanding of the signs of the times, which we've made many videos to discuss, if you look at our other verse breakdowns, and if you look at the description below, we have other channels where we've continuously discussed the same topic, the fact that the kingdom of God has been established, if you read Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, and God has crowned Jesus as head and king over his glorious government, according to Psalm chapter 21, verse 3. "Thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head." It was also stated in chapter 2, verse 6, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion." So that arrangement has now been established in heaven. Jesus Christ is now ruling in the midst of his enemies. If you read Psalm chapter 110, verse 2, "And the apostles are ruling with him as princes of that organization." As it was stated in Isaiah, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." And in Psalm chapter 149 from verses 5 to 9, the job or the role that the apostles would play in advancing God's purpose was summarized. "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints, praise you the Lord." The word saints here refers to the apostles. It's not just every single Christian. So that is the heavenly arrangement which we should understand so that we can know how the kingdom of God is governed. You know, in the educational system, you're always taught how the government works. Whether it's Canada, America, you're taught the basic principles of government. If you don't know those basic principles, then you're not really going to understand how your country works. And by the time you see things changing, laws being made, and other things happening, you won't really know who's making that happen, where such things are coming from. So that's why you're taught in school. And the school of Christ, if we read Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, has been set up in our time, and people are preaching that same heavenly arrangement, which, when we understand, we'll be able to know why all these changes that we're seeing in our time are being made. And that is where I'm going to stop on discussing that verse, Luke chapter 22, verses 28 to 30, which once again reads, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table of my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And I advise you to continue looking into this subject, looking into the kingdom of God, exploring the fact that God has put all judgment and things under his Son, according to John chapter 5, verse 27. I advise that you look more into that subject because it's all over the Bible. And by the time you sweep through the scriptures, you'll be able to better understand that idea and know how you can live as a true citizen of that kingdom. Have a great day, and God bless you.
Oh, one more thing. If you guys liked what you heard, feel free to share a voice message at https://anchor.fm/versebreakdown/message. Once again, that's https://anchor.fm/versebreakdown/message. Hope to see you there.